And welcome to our show. We are here on Street Knowledge. I'm Chris Graham, going solo here on a Friday, talking, kind of clearing out the mailbag in a sense. Been a while since I've done one of these live on Podbean. We've been putting our Facebook Lives on Podbean the last couple of months. I think the last show we did live here on Podbean was March 30th. And we went over to Facebook Live with our original podcast. I don't know, I just kind of felt like doing a little differently today. You know, honestly, it could be a little bit. I'm going solo. That's part of it. And then also, boy, one time I did a Facebook Live on a warm day and I was, you know, felt like a lot of folks in the current era. I wasn't dressed nattily. In fact, I was just wearing a tank top. I'm wearing a tank top right now. And so I didn't feel like putting on a collared shirt. So here we are doing a podcast here on Podbean. Thanks for joining us on the show here. And when I say talking mailbag, some things I've seen questions from folks through Twitter, through email, some questions that have just popped up from conversation with friends on text as recently. Well, boy, there's so much going on in the world right now. Where to start? Let's start with some easy stuff and work into the hard stuff. Let's start with baseball. A story that I just picked up a few minutes ago from ESPN writer, baseball writer, Jeff Passan, and breaking down where we are right now with baseball. Here it is. This is June. When I look at my watch, June 5th. Lost track of days a couple months ago. It's June 5th. And the Major League season could be getting ready to get on, right? We've known for a few weeks that the public health situation was going where it is right now, with lots and lots of opening up. And baseball is disgustingly behind the curve. Let's just say it that way. At the latest is the players and owners still haven't even come to an agreement on anything, much less a start of a season. And Jeff Passan broke the numbers down, basically looking at what both sides concede would be revenues generated without any fans in a stadium all season long. But what you can still generate through TV rights, through other means from media, basically selling ads, that kind of thing. The difference between a 48-game schedule, which is what the owners say they want, and what the players say they would love to see, which is an 82-game schedule, where the players would get paid a prorated portion of their agreed-to 2020 salary. 82 games is basically half a season. 48 games is around a fourth of the season, 162-game schedule. So what the difference comes down to, when Jeff Passan did the math on this, you're talking about a 48-game season means the league is willing to lose, based on projections, would be willing to lose, the owners would be willing to lose around $460 million. The difference with a bigger schedule, the 82-game schedule, will be $787 million. You're talking about the difference of $326 million, which, okay, for those of us who will never see money anywhere close to that in our lifetimes, except on paper, sounds like a lot of money, but when you add it all up to $326 million problem, that's around $10 million per team. And when you start doing the math long-term, that's the value, as Passan points out, of a decent number four starter in your starting rotation. And that's what it comes down to. If a season starts July 1st, runs through the end of September, we have playoffs. Each team would lose around $11 million. Some would obviously lose more, some would lose less. And this is what Major League Baseball owners are willing to do to themselves for the long-term health of this business. It's a business. Baseball's a sport. We love it. It's a fan thing. It's entertainment, but it's also a business. Over $11 million per team, they're willing to have me tweet things, as I have numerous times in the past week. If you don't have a season this year, I'm done with you. I love baseball. You can't see me now in my studio because I'm not on the Facebook Live. I'm doing the radio thing today. But I'm surrounded by baseball memorabilia, my Juan Soto jersey, my Ted Williams, couple Yankees represented, even though I'm not a Yankee fan to say the least, Mickey Mantle and Joe DiMaggio, my Jackie Robinson jersey, which is, we'll talk about that a little bit later in the show, I guess. And yeah, you know, I'm a Nats season ticket holder. I went to all three World Series games last year. I mortgaged, felt like, my year to be able to do that. And yeah, if they can't come back, I think, you know, it'd be hard for me to come back with them. So that's where we are, though. $11 million team. It's a really interesting perspective from Jeff Passan. I'd recommend that folks take a look at that story for the detail there. I want to say I'm on the side of the players on this. I'm always on the side of labor. I'm a Democrat, so I'm always on the side of labor when it comes to dealings with management. But at this point, just play baseball. Basketball is coming back a little late, if you ask me, late July, but at least it's coming back. At least there's a plan in place. Looks like football will be on schedule. Virginia Tech's already started voluntary workouts. UVA won't be starting until July 5th. I'm not sure if that's a big deal or not. I'm on the Zoom with Bronco Mendenhall a couple weeks ago. You know, right now, guys largely wouldn't be on grounds anyway. I guess they you'd have guys probably on grounds for summer school, and then they may be working out in facilities then. But I don't know that July 5th versus now is that much of a departure. Guys can now – Most folks in their home states, those who are spread out across the country, will be able to work out in gyms now, so they don't have to do the at home thing anymore. You know, I've been doing an at home workout for years, and for me, doing a 6 mile run and a 10 mile bike ride, and you know, how many ever push ups I do in a day, and you know, that's part of my thing. But I'm also not training to be a college football player. And so, yeah, they've been having to kind of make do for a while, but they'll be able to get back in gyms, and then they'll be back on grounds on July 5th and likely starting camp probably around July 20th. And so, you know, those sports are coming back. Baseball, gosh, even here locally for me, not quite locally for me, I guess kind of, there's a Augusta County team in the Rockingham County Baseball League, which is a summer college and adult league that dates back, I think, the 1920s. They announced this week they'll be coming back with live baseball June 27th. And so, boy, everybody's back except for Major League Baseball at this stage. That's pathetic. That's just pathetic, to say the least. And so that's where we are. That's where we are with this. Now to the – so I kind of warm myself up there. We've got to talk. We've got to talk about the elephant in the room. And we've talked, you know, we've done some news bits on this week. Crystal Graham and I have done some news commentary and analysis of where we are with the aftermath of the murder of George Floyd in Minneapolis. And, you know, I won't belabor a lot of those points, but I did have some follow-up thoughts to offer. It's one of those things where now, okay, so the rallies, the protests are over. Thankfully, the rioting that has been on the periphery of protests has also calmed down. Really, I would guess last Thursday night, so 8 nights ago, you started seeing things pick up. It really was last Friday night. So, you know, we had a good solid close to a week of unrest across the country. And last night seemed to be pretty quiet. Hopefully I'm not miscalculating or mischaracterizing that. You know, and in Virginia, we had some results, if you want to say. Governor Ralph Northam announcing yesterday that he's authorized the removal of the Robert E. Lee statue from the Monument Avenue in Richmond, and that work began as soon as possible. And he said that to a lot of applause, literally at a press conference, which was kind of awkward. I applaud that. I mean, it's symbolic. That's great. You know, the idea that statue's been there since 1890, and it was put up a generation literally after the end of the Civil War, and it wasn't put up for any other reason other than to intimidate. You know, it was think about the context of 1890. It was after the radical Reconstruction had come to an end a few, you know, maybe 10 years or so after that. Essentially, I mean, 1890, I want to say 1890 was Plessy versus Ferguson, the Supreme Court decision separate but equal. Jim Crow, the racial codes were being enforced across, or being put into place and enforced across the South. It was basically the Lee Monument there and monuments that went up across the South for the next 30 or 40 years were thumbs in the nose of the Union. That's all you can call it. And so it was never about honoring heritage. It was always about power, showing power. And so, it's great that we're beginning that process now. And of course, legislation passed in the General Assembly this year that will allow localities to do the same in their public squares across the Commonwealth. This is all great, but this can't be the end to the process here. I mean, we have this kind of thing pop up every so often. You think back to the Ferguson, Missouri, back, what was that, 2015, the Black Rights, the Black Lives Matter movement that popped up around that, the 2016 protests that centered around NFL players led by now former star quarterback Colin Kaepernick that raised attention through at first sitting down during the national anthem, then eventually kneeling during the national anthem before NFL games. Led to Colin Kaepernick's removal from the league. He finished out his season there in San Francisco and then didn't get a job thereafter. Pretty good quarterback that led his team to a Super Bowl a few years before. He'd be starting for some teams now. He'd certainly be a backup for any team now, at the least. He'd be depth in your quarterback room, if not for the kneeling. Every so often, something will happen and we will respond and folks will take to the streets and we'll have energy and then the energy dissipates and we go back to status quo. And we can't let that happen now. You can't let stasis take over again. And we can't let simply taking monuments down be the final answer to where we are and have been the last few days. And then, of course, I've pointed this out in some columns. When you talk about, you hear platitudes, we need more legislation. We don't need more legislation. There's plenty of laws on the books. The most important ones were passed over 50 years ago. The Voting Rights Act, 1965, Civil Rights Act, 1964, the Supreme Court in 1954 with the Brown v. Board of Education, desegregating schools. There's laws on the books that mandate that equality under the law. We just don't enforce them equally. And that's the thrust now that needs to be in place. And you're seeing some people pick up on that, but I'd love to channel the energy of the people who took to the streets in the last week and say, don't stop, maybe transition. Because taking to the streets at night is fine. It's fun. You get to be, it's visible, but how effective is it versus you should be at City Hall at 9 o'clock the next morning. You should be at the state capitol. You should be at Capitol Hill and be there basically every day. When your congressman or your senator walks by, and if you're on Capitol Hill, you need to shout at that person. You need to shout at their staffs. Hey, what are you doing? What are you doing to ensure racial justice? What are you doing to ensure fair treatment under the law? What are you doing to ensure that our schools are equally funded so that kids in inner cities, and for me, I'm a white guy in a rural area, right? I want my kids here too, my white kids in these rural schools to be treated equally. In Virginia, we have a funding formula called the Standards of Quality that supposedly makes it so that school systems across the state are equally funded. And they're not even close. The rich white kids in Northern Virginia get a much better education than the poor white kids here in Augusta County, Stanton, and Waynesboro, and the poor black kids in the inner cities of our great Commonwealth. And that's got to change. We've got to talk to our mayors and our city managers and our chairman of our boards of supervisors and county administrators our sheriffs and the places where the sheriff's office is the law of the land. We've got to talk to those folks and say, you've got to hire and train police officers and sheriff's deputies who will apply the laws equally, because the laws are on the books. We just got to apply them equally. Equality under the law, equality of opportunity. That's what we need to enforce. And we need to work on this every day. This isn't something that you can go protest for a couple of days and go back to the way things are. I mean, I just talked for 8 minutes about baseball coming back. I mean, when baseball comes back and basketball comes back and we can go to the movies again in a couple of months, you know, when Hollywood starts releasing new movies, you know, when we have the ability to go out and have backyard cookouts, and we're in phase two in Virginia. You can go to restaurants now, go to your favorite pubs, and you know, you got to spread out a little bit more, but you can go, you know, we're going to have a lot of things that distract our attention in good ways. We need distractions. We need to be, you know, we need to have fun, but, we can't let it slide. We can't let it fall back in the background again. And I say, we, again, I'm speaking as a white person, this is important to me. This is as important to me as anything right now, that the energy we've seen, come up from within the last week and a half. We need to marshal that, and we need to apply it and continue to do so, and not just vote in presidential elections. I'm a numbers-driven person, and I'm a liberal Democrat. No, those two things don't go together. I know it does. You know. Doesn't make sense, but yes, we need change at the top. We need a new person in the White House, but that's very small baby step number one. We need people in City Hall. We need people at if you live in a county, your board of supervisors. We need school boards. We need administrators in local jobs. We need HR people. I mean, we need everything to change. Now, I'm not saying throw all those people out and start with new people. I'm saying we need, maybe we do in some cases, maybe some people do need to be, you know, replaced, but you know, whether they're replaced or their attitudes are, further enlightened, their approaches are more substantially enlightened. We need change. We need more diversity in hiring in local government jobs. If we could bring more, talking about race, we need more African American faces. We need more African American butts in chairs in departments across your city hall and your county government. We need in state government, state agencies. Honestly, I grew up in a poor white area. I grew up in a trailer park myself. I think that if more people like me were in jobs in local and state government, federal government, that the perspective that someone like I could bring. I've grew up with nothing, and I've, you know, as an adult, it took a while certainly for me to get to any place where I felt any degree of comfort. We need people in those chairs who understand what working people feel. And we need people in those chairs who understand what people of different races, ethnicities feel. We need more Latinos in jobs, in local government, state government, federal government. We need that diversity, because then the people making decisions can make decisions that affect the diversity of our community. And so those changes need to be made. I think if you do that, you're going to go a long way, at least some of the way, but maybe a long way, to solving the problems that you have in terms of the unequal application of laws and policies and paperwork, you know, all that stuff. And look, we need to, you know, I'm going to say it this way, as a liberal Democrat, we need to hold our people accountable. You know, it's not just about let's get rid of Trump, let's get rid of Mitch McConnell. Too much and too often in this day and age, in our country, we vilify the other side, everything they do, and we don't hold our own side accountable. It's us versus them, and we can't concede an inch, and we gotta, you know, can't give one. We've gotta say when Donald Trump does any of the number of things he does, you know, authorizing the gassing of protesters so that he can do a campaign commercial. That's just ridiculous. Everything is ridiculous. But we've got to call out our own side too. I mean, Ralph Northam, I wrote a column this week about, you know, his press conference. It was just yesterday, not this week. It was yesterday. He used language in his announcement regarding the removal of the Robert E. Lee statue that, you know, we're making Virginia confront its racist past. He needs to confront his own. Let's be honest about Ralph Northam. I want to think people can grow, but let's acknowledge that, you know, February 1st of last year, of 2019, a conservative blogger found that there was something from Ralph Northam's medical school yearbook from, I believe, the 1980s, showed him in a, he admitted later, not much later, that there was a picture on Ralph Northam's yearbook page of two gentlemen, one in blackface and one in a KKK costume. And he admitted he was in the photo. He didn't say which one he was. And then he backtracked. And since then, he stayed with that message that he wasn't in the photo and he was wrong to try to take ownership of that, which is just the oddest thing of all time that a person was able to somehow make that claim and have it stick. And he's still in office today. He needs to answer questions about this Tuesday. At his, you know, he's now having twice a week press conference talking about COVID-19, but this week it's been a lot about race as well. He was asked a question about that, but it was framed in the context of Jerry Falwell Jr., the president of Liberty University, of course, the son of Jerry Falwell, the famed televangelist, late televangelist, and Jerry Falwell Jr. raising this issue, and Northam was able to sidestep by saying, consider the source. Okay, Ralph Northam, I'm a liberal Democrat. I'm a former Democratic Party chair. I'm a media person. I'm an editor of a very well-read Virginia news website. How about me? I'll ask a question. Were you in the photo? You said you were. Now you're saying you're not. Confront your own racist past. Virginia needs to confront its own racist past. No question about that. You need to confront your own as well. And until you can do so, honestly, the good things you're doing, and this Robert Lee monument removal is a great thing. The work that he empowered a commission to make changes to the Virginia State Code, removing racist language. Great thing, you know, great way to spend time in a General Assembly session. Let's remove that language, right? Quite a few things, but look, that's not enough. It's okay. I mean, and people can grow. I want to say people can grow. I also want to say that, you know, there was in 2017, his gubernatorial campaign, flyers were put out in Northern Virginia that didn't include Justin Fairfax. Justin Fairfax, African-American lieutenant governor candidate, now our lieutenant governor, sidestepped that issue, sidestepped the controversy over that. What's going on here? You know, are we just paying lip service? And are Democrats in general just paying lip service to African-American voters and people like me? I'm a white guy. But I want to. The most important thing to me right now is racial justice. Democrats take for granted that who are we going to vote for? We're going to vote for Republicans. We're going to vote for Donald Trump. You know, they take for granted that who else are we going to vote for? And so, you know, lip service to racial justice, and then no action. It's time that we hold our own side accountable. More than we worry about statements from people on the other side. There was this big generated controversy this week. Ben Klein, among everyone in the world, put a statement out about the killing of George Floyd. And to me, it was actually a fine statement. I mean, for the value that those statements have, which to me is not much. And I say that for everyone who put a statement out. Not value, whatever value there is, right? And, you know, you had liberal Democrats. And when I say that, I'm not using a pejorative. That's me. I'm with you. But just Ben Klein didn't go far enough. He praised Trump. I didn't see any praise of Trump. But, you know, whatever. That's not – being a statement police is not where we need to be right now. Even if you make a great statement. I don't care if you make a great statement. Then if you go vote the next day on something and you vote wrong – I don't care what you said. You know, so statements are hollow. Words are hollow. Actions where we need to be speaking to now and be focused on now and be demanding now. And I think we're at a state now in where we are in this country that, you know, we have, it's a representative democracy that we live in, right? And we vote for people to represent our interests in City Hall or County Board of Supervisors, in Richmond, in our case, in Virginia, in Washington, at the federal level. And then, you know, we vote for them every 2 years or 4 years or 6 years. And if they don't do what we tell them to do, then we vote for somebody else. We have to have a say more than every 2, 4, or 6 years. That's pretty clear at this stage. We can't wait. We have to advocate. That's my best way of trying to do an Obama / MLK type rallying cry kind of statement here. But don't wait. Advocate. You can't wait until November. You can't. You got it. You know, people have been taking to the streets. I've been telling you, go to City Hall, go to your county government center, go to your state capitol, go to your Capitol Hill. Do it as often as you can. If you can't do it every day, which you can't, be part of a group that can, and hold them accountable. Make them do it now. Don't wait till November. Don't wait until next January when they're put in power. Don't wait until they decide after they're put in power in January. It's got to be done now, right? So don't wait, advocate. And if the folks who are in office now don't do it, then you replace them. You replace them with people that say they will. And then then you hold them to the fire. That's the way we got to go now. Just can't wait anymore. And I'm gonna put it this way too. I've pointed this out, and this is where I get controversial again. You know, this is me saying we got to hold our own side accountable. I'll just use Virginia as an example. I live in a part of Virginia that is, you know, when you look at the per capita income numbers, it looks poor compared to some parts of the country, certainly parts of our Commonwealth. I don't think of Waynesboro, Stanton, Augusta as being a place of that's behind the times economically. I feel like I'm doing pretty good out here, right? But when you look at those numbers, yeah, it's behind Northern Virginia. Folks in Northern Virginia have, they're very geographically compact or very demographically compact. Lots of folks living in a small area. The economy is booming there. It's not because of anything you guys are doing. No credit to you. It's because you're close to DC, and we happen to get a lot of money back from DC in this state. That's one reason our economy is recession proof to a great degree. We'd love to pat ourselves in the back for how smart we are, but the only thing working for us in that respect is that we're close to the nation's capital, and lots of business wants to locate around that that wants to do business with the federal government. That's the same for Southern Maryland. It's the same for us in Northern Virginia. We ain't geniuses. We just have good location. So, and lots of folks flock there to work in those jobs. And you folks have created yourselves a really nice little place to live there. I mean, it's there's a lot of traffic, yeah, and everything else. But man, your kids have the best schools in the country. And then you get outside of that corridor, and the rest of us are left to fight for the scraps. And you tell us to be thankful for them. It's beyond being thankful now. At this stage, you know, it's those localities in Northern Virginia that make this a Democratic state. And I have to reiterate, I guess, yeah, I'm a liberal Democrat, and I'm not ashamed to say that. And I'm glad that those parts of our state have helped us elect some people to the General Assembly and in the state office that represent a forward-thinking viewpoint. But things got to change, y'all, up there in Nova. We down here, south and west of Northern Virginia, our schools don't have the same ability to educate our kids to participate in the 21st century economy that yours do. Let's just put it bluntly. Inner city schools, rural schools just can't keep up. And that's got to change. When we talk about the concept of white privilege, I'm white in a rural area, and I still, you know, I understand white privilege. If I have a busted taillight in my car and I get pulled over by the police, I don't have to worry that interaction may lead to something that ends my life. And the average African-American male especially does have to worry about that from a simple interaction with police. That's my white privilege. But my white privilege ain't nothing compared to the white privilege of someone in Northern Virginia that has the ability to have the great jobs that are up there. It seems like so much of the economic development activity in Virginia is focused on Northern Virginia from the governor's office perspective. Dating back to Mark Warner, I love them again. Mark Warner, Tim Kaine, Terry McAuliffe, Ralph Northam, love them all. But they put a lot of attention up there in Nova. And then not only do you guys get to benefit personally now, but your kids get to benefit of great educations that prepare them a lot better than the kids here where I am. Check your privilege is what I would say. Check your privilege. If you really want a quality of justice and a quality of opportunity, you're going to have to give a little. And if you're not willing to, and you want to tell me, hey, we're the ones creating all this wealth, then don't be surprised when this state turns against you. And maybe I'll be part of that. I don't know. We need change in this state, and it's going to start there, and it's going to come down from northeast to southwest. So I'm speaking truth to power right now. I spoke truth to power a few minutes ago about Ralph Northam needing to confront his own racist past. We need to be willing to do that. We need to be willing to talk to our own team in critical ways. Certainly, there's lots of criticism that's valid on the other side, too. But we need to clean up our own house first. You know what? I had a few other things on my list here. I mentioned, let's see. I haven't even looked up to see if there have been any other questions. And in fact, there have not. It may be that because I didn't advertise this, just kind of did this one on a whim, that it's kind of just me talking right now. And there might be some folks listening on the archive wanting to email me questions. Hey, feel free to do that. If you're, especially the archive folks, email me at AugustaFreePress2@gmail.com. That email address is all over the AugustaFreePress.com website. Every page, literally at the top of the page, my email address, email me. You can tweet me at AugFreePress, AUG Free Press. You can go to Facebook and send a message to us, through the message service there. If you have questions you want to address, if you want to tell me I'm an idiot, whatever the case, I don't care. But I do, I mean, I want to hear from you, and we want to, you know, tailor our coverage. I'll tell you some things we have coming up next week, coverage-wise from Augusta Free Press. Yeah, I'm going to write a column about, a reported column on this whole effort of we have to have everybody make a statement. You've kind of heard me kind of rant on that a little bit here today, but we're going to be writing about that. We'll be writing about Mark Warner's Senate campaign. It's been very quiet. The Republican primary coming up here in a couple weeks. Don't assume Mark Warner is not vulnerable. I'm going to write about that next week. I'll let you know a little bit more about that. This will be a fun one. How racial justice makes economic common sense. You kind of heard a little bit of the seeds of that one here, but we'll be talking about, I'll be writing about that next week, probably talking more about that as well. Can people grow and learn? And I guess that'll be where I smack myself upside the head. I wrote a column yesterday about Drew Brees and his statements and then his apologies, multiple apologies. Ralph Northam, you just heard me talk about Ralph. Can people wear blackface in a photo and then see the light on the road to Damascus? Bringing up the image of the Apostle Paul. Can you make some of the stupid statements, I'll call them, of Drew Brees, and then can you be dragged in the perimeter of wisdom? And, you know, yeah, I mean, yeah, you can. So, but we'll get into that topic a little bit more next week as well. Of course, we'll also have lots on public health numbers and sports. Can baseball come back? Can we convince them that we just want diversion a couple hours a night? Please, baseball, give us that. Yeah, we'll write about that some more. Thank you for listening. I'm sure most of you are going to be listening on the archive. So thank you for downloading this later. And we're going to do more of the mix here. I'm going to do some Facebook Lives and then some more just traditional radio-type podcast, kind of mix them all up a little bit here. Because if nothing else, this means I don't have to stare into a camera for 45 minutes. radio's got the, you can look at your notes a little more when you do this kind of thing. So we'll mix it up. Thanks for joining us here. I really appreciate it. It's been great talking with you, and everyone have a great day.